रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 58 रामस मैसेज. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Dasharatha came back to himself after a while, burning with anxiety to know the message of his darling boy. He called out to Sumantra, who stood before him with humble reverence, bowed beneath the weight of 60,000 years, restless even as a beast just caged from the forest, sighing like an elephant stricken with some strange disease. Dasharatha, whose thoughts were ever with Rama, turned to Sumantra, whose hot tears cut themselves channels through the dust and dirt that bore witness to his fast and furious driving, and said, Sumantra, my Rama, the very soul of virtue, where does he rest? Under a tree? Brought up in the lap of luxury and comfort, what dainty fare could he hope for in the wild forests? All unfit to meet the slightest discomfort or privation, how could my son, who is of right, the master of this broad earth and all it contains, stretch his wearied limbs on the hard ground like a waif or an orphan stranded on the rocks of adversity? Ever attended by his guards and regiments, how could he bring himself to pass long years of weary loneliness in the forest solitudes? How could Rama, Lakshmana and Sita reconcile themselves to roam through the trackless forests infested with pythons, black cobras, tigers and other fierce forest creatures? I could never believe that my boys walk through the thorny jungles and rough wood and paths and with them the daughter of Janaka, whose face even the winds of heaven were not allowed to visit too roughly. Sumantra, I take it that you saw with your own eyes my beloved children enter the dark forests, even as the bright Ashwinis enter the caves in the Mount Mandara. I envy your good fortune. What said Rama? And Lakshmana, what word did he send to us here? Had Sita any message for us? Tell us all and take care that you omit not the slightest detail, where Rama sat, ate or slept, what he did and what he said. Once upon a time, the emperor Yayati was hurled from heaven and prayed Indra that he might fall in the midst of good men. He landed where Shibi and the other great ones were assembled. They lightened his sorrow and nested him back to heaven. Even so, I will keep back my fleeting life breaths by drinking in your descriptions of his divine excellences. Sumantra could not speak for his tears, yet he managed to blurt out, Your Majesty, Ramachandra, with his eye ever set on the utter observance of traditions of his line, joins his humble palms of reverence and salutes you. Says he to me, Good friend, convey it to my sire that I lay my head at his feet and salute the wise one whom all beings honor themselves in honoring. Convey my salutations and kind inquiries to everyone in the royal palace as beseems their rank and station. Tell my beloved mother Kaushalya that I salute her respectfully and make affectionate inquiries after her health and peace of heart. Deliver the following message to her, carefully omitting nothing. Mother mine, I pray that your heart be ever centered in the due observance of Dharma. Fail not to tend the holy fires. You should ever wait at the feet of His Majesty as if He were a mighty God. Behave towards the other royal ladies with kindness and affability, putting away from you every notion of your high birth, the pride and haughtiness consequent of your being the queen consort of the mightiest emperor on earth. Make no difference in your attitude towards His Majesty and Lady Kaikeyi. Look upon Bharata as a ruling emperor and render him due respect. Bear in mind the maxim of kingly polity. Kings count their age not by days and years, but by their wealth and power. Bharata is younger than you and a son, but nonetheless should you treat him with every mark of reverence and obedience. convey my affectionate inquiries to Bharata and tell him from me, I would have you make no difference, not the slightest, in your treatment of the royal ladies. Keep our sire in the kingdom even after you are crowned, and continue to render him all honor and respect as before, omitting not the smallest detail. Long years has he lived in this world before us. It behooves you to take his advice in everything and gainsay him not. Enjoy with moderation and prudence the unbounded power and wealth that have been entrusted to you. Rama next bethought himself with tears of his mother, exposed to the taunts and insults of others, and of his miserable lot that denied him the pleasure and privilege of being by her side and rendering her affectionate service. So he added, you will oblige me by making no difference between your mother and mine, seeing that Kaushalya lives only in me and for me. Hot tears rained down his cheeks, his eyes were red with weeping, and he remained silent for a while, lost in painful thoughts. And this is all the message that Rama sent through me. Unlike Rama, Lakshmana is not a good hand at concealing the workings of his heart. So he sighed fast and furiously and cried, what fault, what crime did Dasharatha bring home to Rama that he has condemned him to a cruel exile? I would just like to know it. On his head and eyes were the commands of the despicable Kaikeyi, in obedience to which he perpetrated this horrible injustice and doomed us all to unknown misery and trouble. I care not whether he did so out of desire to secure the crown to Bharata. Take it any way you like. I assert that this is injustice, rank injustice and wanton. Why, he never specified to Kaikeyi what boons he would grant her. There was no mention, not the slightest, of Rama's exile to the forest or Bharata's being crowned instead. Common sense would have him remember that he had promised Rama before the assembled multitudes to crown him king, and might have refused Kaikeyi when she asked him subsequently to crown her own son as the king and send Rama out of the kingdom. The Smritis proclaim in no doubtful voice that one should not exile his eldest son to the forest. One should not set aside his eldest son. One should not disinherit his only son. I racked my memory as well as I could, but failed to find even the shadow of an excuse to banish Rama to the forest. If he has done anything to deserve such a punishment, it is well and agreeable to the Shastras, but you cannot, by any stretch of the imagination, come upon it. So, Dasharatha must have been guided solely by his whims and caprices, or he must have defiled the holy books and ordinances, blinded through omnipotent fate. I would like to know how it is to be reconciled with his present grief and repentance. It is verily because he has allowed his reason to go astray and has done this without deep counsel that his heart is torn with contrition. Do you blame me for thus speaking ill of him that bore me? The Shastras stand thus. Punishment stern and inexorable is the portion of him who is intoxicated with pride and strays from the path of justice and right, be he your father or your guru. So I no longer regard his majesty Dasharatha as my sire. My Rama is my brother. My Rama is my protector. My Rama is my kith and kin. My Rama is my father. Question me not why I renounce my natural father and adopt another whose claims are not so strong or biting. Rama is dear to the hearts of all beings. Rama ever seeks the utmost good and happiness of all beings. And Dasharatha, inasmuch he banished Rama to the frightful forest, has rendered himself hateful to all beings. He has unconsciously sought their destruction. Who could ever love him or approve of his acts except such despicable and black-hearted creatures as Kaikeyi and her precious son Bharata? Dasharatha had the heart and audacity to condemn to a cruel exile Rama, the soul of every virtue and a source of all joy and comfort to all his subjects. He has thereby courted the enmity of all beings. How then can he hope to deserve the name of a king, which connotes one who brings happiness and delights to the heart of all his subjects? And this is what your son Lakshmana wanted me to convey to you. He was unable to put up with the misery that had befallen Rama and spoke out bluntly and manfully the thoughts that rankled in his heart. But Sita acted not so. The daughter of Janaka is far famed for her excellent qualities of head and heart, and no less for her practice of all domestic and social virtues. Of unfathomable purpose and resolve, her deep sighs were the only index of her grief, as she stood gazing at vacancy as if possessed. A stranger to anything in the shape of grief or want, the sight of her lord and husband in the grip of adversity opened the floodgates of her heart. And she had no news for me. With a worn and pinched face, she looked at Rama through fast-falling tears and at me, who was preparing to return to Ayodhya, no doubt saying to herself, "Alas, how could my lord manage to walk through these thorny jungles, deprived of his conveyance?" My last recollections of them were Rama standing with folded palms, trying his best manfully to keep back the rebellious tears, Lakshmana attending upon him with fond solicitude, and Sita weeping piteously and casting furtive glances at myself and the chariot. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.